Thank you, Brother Frank. Thank you, Brother Frank. Thank you, church. Bodybuilding. We are going to be looking at the church for a couple of weeks here and trying to understand what it is that God has provided and what it is that God is doing. The Lord Jesus Christ has promised to build his church, has he not? Come on, church. The Lord Jesus Christ has promised to build his church, has he not? Yes, he has. The church is the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. The church is the visible representation of the body of Christ here on earth today. We could also put it this way. The church is the Holy Spirit's handcrafted community for believers. No matter how you slice it, no matter what angle you look at it from, the fact remains that church matters. Church matters. And so we're going to be looking at this because the problem is that many have a false or faltering view of the church. So this will be a couple of different weeks. We're going to be going over elements of the body of Christ and how the Lord is building his body. But we're going to start this week really by trying to understand who we are, why it matters, because when it comes to the church, not everybody has a very high opinion of the church. There are a lot of people, even Christians, who struggle with the church. And that's a problem because the church is the body of Christ. I wanted to title this message, Having a Proper Body Image, but I was told no. But that's the reality. When it comes to the church, there are even a lot of believers who don't have a proper body image, who don't understand what it is that God has framed together in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Greek term for church, it's ekklesia, and it means a called out assembly. A couple of different facets to it. Simply this, that the Lord has called us out from the world, and that the Lord has called us into, has assembled us into Christ. And so as we look at the New Testament, what we're going to find is that the call about church, the command of Scripture in regards to this thing we call church, goes far beyond a call for you to be at church. It goes far beyond a call for you to go to church. We are called to belong to church because we are the body of Christ. Might I also make this distinction about this word ekklesia, a called out assembly. It is an assembly. In other words, the force or the emphasis behind the idea of church is not that you are the church, it's that we are the church. That the Lord has called us out, that the Lord has called us together. We are the church. Now, why did God do this? I think as you look at Scripture and you understand how the Lord has built you and I as human beings, we have been created with a need for community. We have been created with a need for communion. You know, very early on, the Lord looked at Adam and said, "It is not good that man should be alone." Of course, that's in the context of marriage. And the Lord then provided Eve to provide that physical, emotional communion, community for Adam. But in a spiritual sense, what we're going to find is that the church is God's provision for community for believers. You know, you can't escape this need for community. You go back to high school. Unless you went to a high school where the school was like 12 and everybody was one group, you went to a bigger school, well, you had the athletes, and the athletes tended to hang around athletes. And you had the nerds, and they tended to hang around the other smart people. That's right. You people. I mean, the school I went to, we even had this large contingency of those who did not like the idea that there were groups and cliques, and so they dressed in all black and had kind of that gothic vibe, but they were their own group. You see, what happens to you and I as human beings is even when we decide we don't like the establishment, we don't like this idea of community, we're gonna disregard community, then we develop an anti-establishment community and we're stuck. You see, you can't escape in our human form, in our human nature, you can't escape this idea that we were created with a need for community, we were created for our need for communion. But here's the problem. As I look at our world today, in spite of the fact that there are approximately 21.5 billion devices connected to the internet, we live in a pretty disconnected world. We live isolated lives, making comments about other people's isolated lives. But the church is God's spiritual answer to man's need for community. Church, I got good news. The Lord is still building his church. The Lord Jesus Christ is still body building, if you will. Circumstances over the last couple of years have been disjointed at best. Circumstances over the last couple of years have been strange and stressful at best. But church, it's time. Church, it's time. Church, it's time for us to get refocused, for us to get reframed, for us to recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ is still doing a work in his church and through his church. And it's time that we get back. We get back to what it means and we get back to why it matters, because we are the church. We are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. And this morning, I want us to understand what that means and why it plays out the way it does. Why the church commands such the transcendent loyalty that it does of you and I. You know, you consider yourselves. You consider your body. We are made up of all sorts of different parts and organs and materials and this and that. 37 point whatever average trillion cells in our bodies. That's a lot of cells. But every single one of them have your DNA. They share something. And I want to talk about some things that the members of the body of Christ share as well this morning. I want us to consider first, if you would, that we as the body of Christ, we have a shared identity. We have a shared identity. Going baseline here, you and I, we share a common salvation. We share a common salvation. Only those who are in Christ are truly in his church. You are not a part of the church because you attend somewhere. You are not a part of a church because you give money. You are not a part of a church because you engage in ministry. You are not a part of a church because you fill a pew. The foundation, it must be the Lord Jesus Christ. Only those who are in Christ are in the church. The body of Christ is composed of those who have by faith received the Lord Jesus Christ, who have been born again, who have been washed clean by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 17 that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know, sometimes I get very concerned because I hear somebody make a statement like, well, I have always been a Christian. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. No, you haven't. No one has always been a Christian. I mean, you can be born and you can tag a certain religion. You can be born a Muslim. You can be born a Mormon. You can be born a Catholic. But you cannot be born a Christian, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because here's the thing about faith. Faith is not transferable. My children don't ride my faith. Just because their daddy's a Christian, just because their daddy's a pastor, doesn't mean that God looks on them differently. We all stand before God ourselves. You could say every bucket stands on its own bottom. And ladies and gentlemen, you have not always been a Christian. Those who are in Christ are those who come to that place as the Holy Spirit of God draws them, as the Holy Spirit of God convicts them, who, as the Bible says, they turn from their sin and they turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they receive by faith that which He has done for them. And all who are in the church, we share an identity because we share a common salvation. We have the same Savior. We share a common salvation. I'll point this out as well. We share a common story. Now that one people struggle with. Because my story is not yours and your story is not mine. But at a foundational level, for those of us in Christ, yes it is. And it is simply this. I was once lost, but now I am found. I was once dead. Dead in trespasses and sin. But now in Christ I am alive. I was once in darkness. But now I walk in light. I was once far from God. But by the blood of Jesus Christ I have been drawn near. And we share the reality that, you know what? Hallelujah. I'm not what I used to be. But I also know I'm not yet what I'm going to be. And so we share that story of what God has done in our lives. And we share the story of what God is doing in our lives in sanctification. And we share this reality. That He's still working on me to conform me to His image. And we, in this way, church, we share a common story. We share a common identity. This foundational reality. And I'm going to tell you that we share the same Savior and that we share the same story. This is so foundational. And this is why that this identity that we have, this identity that we have through our Savior and through our story, it is so foundational that it transcends all other identity markers. That's why this identity, that we have the same Savior and we have the same story, it transcends identity markers of ethnicity. It transcends identity markers of gender. It transcends profession. It transcends anything else we can come up with. Because this, ladies and gentlemen, is foundational above all. Because before I'm a pastor, I'm a Christian, bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, being conformed into the image of His Son. Before I am a man, I am a Christian, bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, being conformed into the image of His Son. And you can plug in whatever marker you want to plug into, but I'm going to tell you, for those of us in Christ, being conformed into the image of Christ, that transcends everything else. We share a common identity. In verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 12, he puts it this way, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized or placed into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Ephesians and others, it talks about, it doesn't matter male or female, rich or poor. It doesn't matter bond or free. It doesn't matter Jew or Gentile, that He hath made us one in Christ. Can I get specific? This shared identity, the fact that it transcends everything else, that is why the body of Christ is bigger than masks. It always has been. It always will be. That's why the body of Christ is bigger than vaccines. That's why the body of Christ is bigger than politics. That's why the body of Christ is bigger than variants. Because we are the church, the body of Christ. And there is a foundational reality, a foundational identity that holds us together no matter what else in the world is going on. And church, this primary identity, this transcendent life ought to bring transcendent loyalty among those who recognize what God has done and what God is doing. I tell you, those of us who went several years ago to Honduras, you go to another country, You go with people, you go meet people who don't speak your language. They have a completely different standard of living than you do. They have completely different views on the world than you do. They're different from you. But I'm going to tell you, those of us who went, and if you've ever been on a missions trip before, there was a deep communion. There was a deep connection, a deep sense of community that we felt with those believers. Why? Because we had a shared identity. We had a shared identity. That's why I feel a deeper connection even today with people I met in Honduras for a week and a half than people I see every week of my life in the community. Because I share an identity with them that I don't elsewhere. That's why many people can give testimony to the fact that they sense a deeper sense of a community. They sense a deeper connection with their church family than they do their bio family. Because there is a foundational, primary reality at play. Church, can I get practical again? This is why we don't bail when things get hard. This is why we don't bail when things get hard. This is why we don't bail when we disagree. Have we agreed on everything over the last year and a half? Oh, heavens, no. No, no, not at all. Oh. But this is why we don't bail. Because what we have in Christ is bigger. What we have in Christ is more important. This is why we don't bail when things get hard. This is why we don't bail when we disagree. This is why we don't bail when your kid bites mine in the nursery, because my kid would never bite yours. This is why we forbear one another. In humility, we strive, we endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, Ephesians 4 and verse number 3. Because what Christ did for us ought always be bigger than what has happened between us. Because we are the church. We are the body of Christ. I'm going to tell you, this is also why church is so much bigger than a service. If this is church to you, you're missing out. Because church is so much bigger than just a service. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. What is this? What is this thing about the church, the body of Christ? How did God frame it together? Well, number one, we have a shared identity. Can I point out secondly this morning that we also have a shared importance? A shared importance. You know, when I consider the church, I have to understand biblically that church, the body of Christ, was not my idea. This idea did not originate with Alan Holmes. Nor did this idea originate with Pastor James Lewis. This idea did not originate with Brother Charles. This idea didn't even originate with Peter or Paul. Church, ladies and gentlemen, is God's idea. As I look at the Bible and I understand the scripture, I see very clearly that Christ prepared for the church with his doctrine while he was here on earth. He told the disciples, Matthew 16 and verse number 18, he said, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock," that rock being Peter's confession that Jesus was the Christ, he said, "upon that rock, that Jesus is the Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So Christ on earth, he promised the church. Christ on earth, he prepared for the church. If Christ prepared for the church in his doctrine, we can say Christ purchased the church in his death. Acts 20 and verse number 28 puts it this way. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God," read that last part with me, "which he hath purchased with his own blood." What did he purchase? He purchased the church. Hold up now. Because if the Lord Jesus Christ thought the church important enough to die for, I should imagine it ought to be important enough to us to plug into. If the Lord Jesus Christ thought the church important enough to die for, you and I ought to find the church important enough to plug into. Because God's plan is for His church to be His body, to be His visible representation of His Son in this age. Not only is the church God's plan, but the church is God's passion. The church in a number of places is described as the bride of Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, we see that analogy play out quite extensively. A singular verse that we can look to, Paul points out in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse number 2, he admonishes the church that he is jealous over them with a godly jealousy, for he has espoused, or he has almost like an engagement type thing, the church to one husband, that he may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. In other words, the church is the bride of Christ. Now, I tell you, men ought to be passionate about their brides. Men ought to be passionate about their brides. They ought to be. Can I promise you something? The Lord Jesus Christ is passionate about His bride. Well, how do you know that? Ephesians 5 reminds us that He gave Himself for it. He is passionate about His bride, that He washes her, the church, with the washing of water by the word, that He sacrifices for His church and He cares for His church. Jesus Christ is passionate about the church. You look at the New Testament, second only to the gospel. That is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Second only to the good news of the gospel. Do you know what the emphasis of the New Testament is? The church. The church. It is the church. As I consider it, the Gospels, as we pointed out, prepare for the church. The book of Acts is all about what? The birth of the church and the spread of the church and the growth of the church. The epistles, like the book of Romans. Who is the book of Romans written to? Not some dude named Roman. It is written to the church at Rome. Who is Colossians written to? To the church at Colossae. Who do you think? You look at some of the other epistles, like 1st and 2nd, Timothy. Now, who was Timothy? Timothy, we find, was a pastor of a church. And so you look at the epistles, they were written to churches. They were written to pastors of churches. They were written about the church. They were written to the church. Even Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, starts with letters to seven churches. As I look at the New Testament, and I look at what God has given us, second only to the gospel, the emphasis of the New Testament is the church. Is the church. You have to disregard the Bible to think that God is not passionate about His church. The Bible clearly teaches that God is passionate about His church, both in purpose and in picture. So my question becomes, if we want to say that God is important to us, if we want to say that we are passionate about the Lord, how can we discard the emphasis that He placed on the church? You see, there ought to be a shared importance. If it's important to Him, it ought to be. If it's important to Him, it ought to be important to us. If we are passionate about God, we will at the very least respect His passion for the church. We should share His passion. Let me put it this way. You cannot live for God and live apathetically toward His church. Can't do it. You cannot live for God and live antagonistically towards His church. Now, is any church perfect? See, that's if the church wasn't so full of hypocrites, you go to work with hypocrites, you go to the gym with hypocrites, you go to Walmart with hypocrites, your friends on social media with hypocrites, See, it's not our excuse anywhere else. By the way, if you ever find a perfect church, here's my advice. Stay as far away from it as you can. Because we'll just mess it up. Now, there's no such thing as a perfect church. But here's the reality. How can we say we live for God and live apathetically towards what He loves? How can we be a good Christian and a bad church member? You know, without fail, those who neglect sharing God's emphasis on the church, I believe it was the wise Reverend Belcher who said this. I always preface it so you get the blame. Those who live without a shared emphasis, God's shared emphasis on the church, one of two things happen. You grow cold or you grow kooky. Every single time. Church, I want to be a part of what God is doing. I want to be a part of what God is doing. I want to be a part of what God is doing. And if that is my heart, hey, it's real simple. I just need to be a part of what God is doing. And He is still building His church. We are the church, the body of Christ. So understanding this thing of bodybuilding, the body of Christ. Church, we have, number one, a shared identity. We have, number two, we ought to have a shared importance. I want us to see finally this morning that we also have a shared intent or a shared intention. You know, a healthy body moves with unified intent. If I decide I want to walk across the platform, my entire body moves for that purpose. My legs move, my arms move, I have this slight lean forward in my center mass. You know what? There's a problem if I want to walk across the platform and my knee doesn't want to work anymore. Anybody ever been there? There's a problem because a healthy body moves in unison to one goal, to one intent. You know, there's a problem if I want to walk across the platform and my lower back is tight because now I'm not able to move in a healthy fashion because a healthy fat body, though there are many members and different parts to a healthy body moves with a unified intent. The intent of the body of Christ. What is the body of Christ doing in this day? I got good news because it's pretty simple. It's pretty simple. The intent of the body of Christ hasn't changed since He was here in His earthly body. From very early on, Jesus told His mother and earthly father in Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 45, He said, "How is it that you sought me? Wished you not that I must be about what, church? My Father's business." Well, I wonder if that was a one-time thing. Let's look. John chapter 4 and verse number 34. Jesus told His disciples, "My meat, my strength, my purpose is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." Sounds to me like Jesus was still busy about my Father's business. Fast forward, John chapter 6 and verse number 38. "For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but to do the will of Him who sent me." Sounds like Jesus was still busy about? Oh, come on, church. I know we've been at it a little while. Sounds like Jesus was still busy about His Father's business. Oh, let's keep going. John chapter 9 and verse number 4. "I must work the works of Him that sent me while it's day, because the night comes when no man can work." Oh, even in John chapter 9, the Lord Jesus Christ was still busy about His Father's business. See, here's the grand thing. The intent of the body of Christ, the purpose of the body of Christ hasn't changed. It's still about the Father's business. Hey, we are many parts, amen?
But we are one body. One body. We have many functions, but we have one purpose, and that is we are here. We are called out from the world. We are assembled together in Christ. We are here to do the Father's business and to help one another do the same. Oh, well, this is where the rubber meets the road again, because that means church is not primarily about my felt needs then. It's primarily about, help me, Father's business. Well, that means church isn't primarily about my music preferences. It's primarily about, that means church isn't primarily about the personality of the people around me or the pastor or anything like, it's about the Father's business. You see, I think we've lost that. We church shop in America. And the questions that it get asked of me as a pastor have little to nothing to do with the Father's business. Have everything to do with personalities and preferences. But the Church of Jesus Christ, we have a shared intent, and that is that we must be about the Father's business. Let me also mention this in regards to a shared intent. You know, the first time the church is ever mentioned, I think is very revealing to us. We've looked at the verse once already, Matthew 16 and verse number 18, where Jesus takes the testimony of Simon Peter that the Lord Jesus, he is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. And Jesus said, upon this rock, the rock that Jesus is Lord, I will build my church. And notice what he says. He doesn't say, and they will all love one another. Oh, he does say that later, but that's not his first mention in regards to the church. I will build my church and they will help the poor. Oh, we are called to love and to give and be charitable and do alms. And if we see somebody in need and we say, that we really don't have the love of God in us. But that's not what he mentions here first and foremost. It's not. He says, upon this rock I will build my church. What does he say, church? He says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. From the very first mention of the church, it is mentioned that we are at war. We are at war with the forces of darkness in this world. I'm going to tell you, we looked at Sunday night and Wednesday night about Satan's sovereignty, sin, and suffering. We looked at the reality this world is a messed up place. I got to be careful how much I look at news sites. Because over and over and over again, I say, what? What? Like, is this satire? No, this is real life. This world's messed up. But you know, if we're not careful, what we do is we get in little groups and we sit around whining about how messed up things are. That's not what an entity at war does. We don't sit around whining about the other side. No, 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 no. Church, this world is a dark place. And I sense, you know, the world has always been evil. This world has always been evil. Since Adam ate the apple, the fruit, the world has always been evil. I mean, it didn't take long. Murder, polygamy, all those different things to find their way into human history. This world has always been a dark place. But there is an escalation of sorts in the boldness of the wickedness in our day. Here's my admonition, church, we are the body of Christ. I think it's high time that we stop whining about the world, we stop whining about the other side, We plug in to what God is doing. We plug in to the fact that he is building his church, and we just flat decide to make the difference we can for his glory. I don't have to have all the answers. I don't have to have it all together. But ladies and gentlemen, to just get plugged in, to dive into what God is doing in my life, to dive into where God is placing me in his church, and just decide, I'm going to make a difference for the glory of God. We are here to do God's work and to help one another do the same. And this requires... Church, this is where my heart is, and these are the steps that I want us to take. This requires that we go beyond just coming to church. This requires that we go beyond just sitting in a pew and singing the same songs and listening to the same sermon. This requires that we be fed together. This requires that we fellowship together. This requires that we learn to function together, because we are the church, the body of Christ, fed together, fellowship together, function together. All of those are necessary. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you're anything like me, balance is hard in life. You ever find that? Balance is hard. It's hard in just about every single area of life. Balance is hard. Extremes are easy. Balance is hard. But here's what I'm going to ask in the coming weeks as we go through a number of these things together. I'm going to ask that we allow the Holy Spirit to examine our lives. You see, some of us, we're getting fed. And we're getting fed and getting fed and getting fed and getting fed and getting fed. And we're a nice fat Christian. And we're not doing it spiritually. But we're not doing anything with it. We got all these spiritual calories stored up, and we ain't done a thing with it in forever. It's time that we add something to being fed. It is. Some of us, as we talk about, we need to fellowship together. We need, that is shared life. That's not just potluck in the gym 3 or 4 times a year. That is shared life. That is what we did last night. That is Sunday school and small groups. That's having people over, getting to know people, sharing with people, living the Christian life with one another. That's what fellowship is. Sometimes some of us substitute that for just being fed all the time. Some of us substitute that for just functioning all the time. We work in 17 ministries. That's out of balance. And some of us need to maybe pull back. Yes, I know. All 17 of the ministries you're involved in would fall apart if you left. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say God is great enough to find some way, somehow, for it to go on. Some of us need to take a step back so we can have a more balanced involvement with the body of Christ. That we be fed together, that we fellowship together, that we function together. Every single one of those is absolutely necessary. Because church, we are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We have a shared identity with one another. We have a shared importance with our Heavenly Father. We have a shared intent in our function. We are the body of Christ. But if we are disconnected from our local church, we are disconnected from a major aspect of our faith. God calls us, amen? That's what church is. God calls us out. But God doesn't just call us out. He calls us into. He assembles us together. And when God calls us out and God calls us in, the response from you and I ought to be, when God places us, we get off the fence and firmly plant ourselves in the church, because we are the body of Christ. And it is so much more than a service. Fed together. Fellowship together, function together. The invitation this morning is simple. There are many who feel disconnected. You feel disconnected because it's been a year or more since you have been in person worshiping on a regular basis. You feel disconnected because you feel like you have been let down by a church staff, by other church members. You feel disconnected because you don't understand how your spiritual gift fits. You feel disconnected, maybe because your focus is all on you, but you feel disconnected. You can't be disconnected from the body and not miss a large part of your faith. This morning you're here and you feel disconnected, whether you're in person, watching by way of Facebook, or listening by way of radio. Here's what we do. We find a place, maybe it's at the altar, maybe it's there in our pew, but we go before the throne of God and we ask the Lord for His grace to plug back in. We ask the Lord for His grace and we commit to plugging back in. You were never intended to barely be. You were intended to bodybuild. You were never intended to be an individual Lego. You were intended, I brought Legos, to be a part of a set. Some of us this morning need to ask God for His grace. Get plugged back in. I wonder, those of us who feel plugged in, who feel committed, the invitation for us this morning, could we fall on our face somewhere, ask God, beg God for His grace and for His favor to continue to build the church. Continue to build His church and to ask Him for the grace that we need to respond as He speaks to us. Church matters. Church matters. Church matters. Could we today go before our Heavenly Father like it does?